Luke chapter 16, verse 1, and he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. I'm going to read the whole parable, and then I'm going to pray, so let's just follow along here. Verse number 3, then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my lord, or boss, taketh away from me the stewardship, or I'm going to get fired. I cannot dig. To beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world, lost people, children of this world, are in their generation wiser than the children of light, saved people. It's a neat story, it's a neat truth, but there's one of the catches right there. Jesus says, people of this world act better who are lost towards their affairs than Christians do towards eternal affairs. And that's kind of the crux of the story this morning. Let's keep on going here. Ready? Verse 9, and I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, when you're fired or when you die, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Okay? We're going to stop right there. We're going to pray, and then we'll dive into it. Okay, Lord, please help us this morning, and thank you once again for your word, and thank you for everyone that's here. Lord, it has been a great summer. And Lord, I think of the families with new babies. Lord, how you've blessed. Father, and Lord, more babies coming. Lord, please help, I pray. Bless little Melissa, Lord. Give her some comfort there. And Lord, you know when the baby's coming, but Lord, we do pray. You said to ask, so we're asking you, please. Lord, if the baby could come a little early, that sure would be great. And so please, Lord, work there, and you know how to make it happen. So, Lord, touch her and strengthen them as a couple, and bless their home. Lord, I thank the little Sadie with the test, and Lord, all that Tommy and Shanda have on their mind. I pray that, please, you would touch her. I pray that you give the doctors wisdom and insight. And Lord, what's supposed to be seen, help it to be seen. And Father, please comfort them. And Lord, as you said, all things work together for good. I pray that, please, you'd use this time in their life. Draw them close together as a family. Draw Tommy and Shanda close together as husband and wife. And use this, please, for your glory, as we trust you and you know what's best. We need you, Father. Please open your word to us this morning and touch our hearts, please, and make us more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. If I go to the verse number 1 here, and he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward. What's a steward? Steward means someone who is put in charge of someone's house or family. It is someone who looks over their home and could possibly be their children, or it could be a business. You are a steward if you are a manager, if you're a shift manager, if you manage a plant but you don't own it, you are a steward. Well, if I spiritually apply this, you are a steward, period. As a Christian, you have been given your house and your family and your children, and everything about you has been given to you by God. Now, that's how we're going to apply this. Everything you have, your marriage, comes from God. That's God's will. You say, well, yeah, but Brother Nash, you know, I've heard some of the stories. Yeah, but I know, but we met in a bar and then we got saved. God was working in your life before you got saved. God has been working every day in your life since you got saved. And everything you have comes from God. Now, that's the crux of the story here, as far as everybody in here is a steward. Now, watch this. It says here, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. I will say this. Nobody's perfect. We know that. But God says, to the degree you waste your goods or what he gives you. For instance, I've heard people say, well, I just don't have money to spend on this. But let me, and I'm not preaching now, just listen. I don't have money to spend on that, but if you added up what you spent on eating out and sodas and the stuff, I wonder when we get to heaven. I have a question for the Lord, you know. One of my questions is going to be, Lord, how many miles did I walk in my lifetime? You know, stupid question, you know, dumb trivia stuff. Then I want to ask the Lord, how much money did I make in a lifetime? Not because I care about the money. I just would like to know the figure. You know what I'm saying? It probably won't be much, but that was funny. I wish you'd have heard that. At any rate, but I have some questions. Well, here, as far as I've heard people say, you know, our car, you know, is, but they don't take care of their car. Well, we're having problems with our vehicle, but they don't change the oil. They don't do any maintenance on it, and they don't take care of what God's given them, so they have wasted it. And then they feel like God is not good to them because all of us... Now, I didn't say if you had car problems, you're a bad Christian. Did I say that? I did not say that. I said some people don't take care of their car. And then when it does go bad, they think God is bad because bad things are happening to them, when really God says, I gave you a house where you live. You are to take care of it to the degree you're allowed to take care of it. I gave you a car. I gave you a spouse. You're to take care of that spouse. I know some guys, they'll spoil their wife, give them everything. About 20 years goes along. Now the wife has been spoiled so badly by the husband, he has created a monster. I don't know how else to say it. She goes to the store, she never has to use a budget. She never has to, there's no self-restraint there. He has given her everything he wants. Now, 20 years later, into the marriage, the kids are out of the house, and now he's looking at someone who's going, how did you become this? This is not what I married. But he created it. He did not help his wife reach her potential, so instead he just gave her everything she wanted. Now, everybody in here can't do that. But do you get the point? Wife, I love Mrs. Howes' book, The Assembler, is the wife's job. She puts together the husband, because no one knows the husband's weaknesses like the wife. No one. So she protects his weaknesses, and she can help by not gossiping or talking bad about her husband, but she can help assemble him. Because, fellas, when your wife's behind you, you can take on hell with a squirt gun, right? As long as the sweet wife believes in you, you can go forward and do a lot. That's the wife helping the husband. The husband can help the wife. But when they don't take care of it, God says, I gave you your spouse, and you have wasted your goods. And it went to pot. Now, look at verse 2. And he called unto him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship. For thou mayest be no longer steward. Coming a day, we're going to face God for what he gave us. All the money, all the time, everything that he gave us. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. He's about ready to get fired. I cannot dig. To beg I am ashamed. Now stop, just a second. We're teaching on parables. Jesus uses a physical picture to illustrate a spiritual truth. The physical picture is this man's working. We could call him a butler. We could call him a plant manager. Whatever you want to relate to. But here is a physical, secular worker, and his boss has come and said, you have not handled what I have given you to oversee properly, therefore I'm firing you. His thought is, what do I do now? And the whole crux of the parable is this, I am resolved, verse 4, what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, or when I'm fired, they may receive me into their houses. They, the world. The boss's customers. Now, I don't like what he does. And every time I read this parable, I always go, that's not right. But watch what he does. His whole thinking is, I'm about to get fired. I now need to make friends with whoever I can, so when I lose this job, I can have a place to go. That's his whole thinking. That's the whole basis of the parable. Look at verse 5. So he called unto every one of his Lord's debtors, everybody that owed his boss money. He's obviously put over the money, unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said 100 measures of oil, and he said, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. What he said was, how much do you owe my boss? You owe him 100? You owe him 100 bucks? 100 measures of oil? You owe him 100 bucks? Sit down real quickly, write 50, and we'll consider the bill paid. Is that honest? No. At the boss's expense, he made a friend. Right? Now, look at the next issue here. Verse 7. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. Scores being 20. 4 times 20 is 80. You owe my boss 100? Write 80. Pay 80, and I'll consider the bill paid. He just took $20 from his boss to make a friend from the world. But the mentality is, I'm getting ready to lose my job, so I'm going to make friends out there, so when I lose my job, I'll have somewhere else to go to. I don't like how he's going across it, but that is, here we go, verse 8. And the Lord commended the boss, commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. Stop. It doesn't say whether the boss decided to keep the guy. It doesn't say whether the boss went ahead and fired him. I have a tendency to think the boss went ahead and fired him. But it doesn't say. He commended the steward or the accountant or the employee and said, you've done wisely. For doing what? He produced something versus sitting there doing nothing. All the boss wanted to see was some results. To many Christians, they don't do anything with their life. Nothing. And God says, okay, I created you to do this. I saved you to do this many things. But to sit there and do nothing, you are totally wasting your life. You're wasting everything I've given you. You're doing nothing. You're producing nothing. That is why I might consider, thou mayest be no longer steward, verse 2, I might consider you taking it out of this world. If you're not going to do anything, do something. Here we go. Let's keep reading here. Because thou hast done wisely, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Let me apply this. Are you ready? I thought about this and thought about it and prayed about it and looked at it. I promise you. Here's a guy. He says, I'm getting ready to get fired, so I'm going to do everything I can, secularly or in the world, to gain friends so I have a place to go. The crux of the story, Jesus wraps everything up in verse number 9, and he said, I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. There's one person that gives everlasting habitation. One, your home is not an everlasting habitation. I was going to say plantation. Okay. Your home is not an everlasting habitation. God is the one who gives everlasting habitations. That's salvation, right? The whole picture is this. Just like this man says, I'm getting ready to be fired, and I'm going to use everything I can to make friends so that I have a place to go when I'm fired. Jesus said, what would you do spiritually so when you die, you have laid up treasures for yourself in heaven? Physical picture, spiritual truth. Watch this. Because the rest of it goes on to say, do you see verse 13? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is the name given by the heathen to the god of riches. Mammon represents money in the Bible. Okay? So, watch this. Man getting ready to lose his job, uses all of his resources, so when he's fired, he has a place to go. Christian, using all of his resources, so when he dies, he has an everlasting habitation, or he's sent it on ahead. Crux of the story, and I'm going to go ahead and bring this to a head. What would you do? Is there anything you would do more for God if we paid you? If you are not faithful to church because it's a desire issue or a priority issue, then if we paid everybody $100 to come to church tonight, would that change any of your plans? Would you do anything for money that you would not do for God? If we said, we'll give $50 to each person, could possibly be $100 a home. We'll give $50 to every person that goes soul winning this Thursday night. Would you change any of your priorities? But it's amazing here, Jesus says the physical picture is just like the world takes what they use, everything they have, wheeling and dealing. I'm going to go ahead and call this stealing. Everything that's in their power to do. That was obviously authority given to him by the boss. I don't agree with it. I don't like it. But a guy, he's getting ready to lose his job. I'm going to use all my resources so I have a place to go. Christian, what do you use? What are you doing now to lay up treasures for yourself in heaven? Because if you're not careful, every single one of us here is going to give an account of our stewardship. I gave you your house. I gave you your car. I gave you your children. I gave you your clothing. I gave you your health. I gave you this. Give an account. And here's how you spent everything. And Christian, if you're not careful, the materialism of the world says, you got to have this. You got to own this. You got to be this. You got to look like this. When God says, I'm the one who you're supposed to be working for. I saved you. I'm the one that you owe. Make me smile, not the world. Did you know the world will drive you into poverty, making them happy, and you can't make the world happy? Dress this way this year, and then next year the fashion will change. Then next year wear your hair this way. Then the next year it changes. Now wear your hair this way.
Well, crud, I had to shave it off last year to make it happen. I can't do it this year.
I'm just being crazy. They change. Are you trying to make the world happy? You got to have this car. You got to have this paid off. You got to have this money. Somebody said you got $10,000 in the bank before you have a child. Well, crud. Now, I'm not against the savings if you want to do that. But my goodness, 10 grand? I heard somebody say that, you know.
I ought to have $10,000 in the bank or bless God, don't have kids.
Said my wife. Don't listen to that. Yeah. Yeah, you heard that one too? Okay, several have. Now, if you have a savings, I think that's awesome. But I don't find that I have to do that in the Bible. That's what the world says.
Well, you all have not have kids if you can't afford them.
Well, I do think there's an issue. There is an issue. There can be an issue of faith. There can be an issue of children are a heritage of the Lord. And so as far as, there's nothing wrong with that. As far as you're not sinning by not having 10 grand in the bank. All I'm trying to say is the world will always throw at you. You got to do this, got to be this, got to look like this, got to talk this way. And it changes from year to year. You can't make them happy. Jesus has put his plan for our life in the Word of God, in his book. And God says, this never changes. To win my smile, I'm looking for you. I'm looking for time with you. I'm looking for time with you every morning. Read the Bible. I'm looking for you to talk to me. Pray every day. It's why you were saved. It's why you were saved. God says, I didn't save you for all that you could do for me. I saved you for all that I could do with you. And I love you. Now, wait a second. I take this story and I start applying it to my life and I start going, wow, is there anything I would do in the Christian life? Did I make sure I was there if I was paid? Wow. Would I be a better choir director if they doubled my pay? I give it everything I have. So I analyze me. And I saw one guy's song leader house. I was soul winning in a big kind of to-do area, and one of the teenagers said, this was when we were in Tennessee, but Nash, you see that house right there? It was huge. It must have been a 6,000-square-foot house that had four stories and a basement. And he said, you know whose house that is? All these houses were that way, keep in mind, okay? I said, no, whose house is that? That's a song leader's house down at some non-denominational hodgepodge, hooky-pooky, you know, church. I said, that's a song leader's house? Man. Is that all he does? Like, he doesn't direct an orchestra somewhere? No, he just directs the songs down. I said, good gravy. Somebody must have died or something and left it to him. In my head, I couldn't fathom. I don't do it for money. I'm not in it for the money. Things like that do tickle me. I get a kick out of it. But would I do anything better for the Lord that I'm doing now for more money? I hope not. This little lesson, I honestly, until I really had to struggle to teach it this week, every time I read this, I hated the steward. And then it says his Lord said, oh, you've done wisely. And so I'd always, he didn't do wisely, he stole. And then I'd move on. You know, I just didn't want to ponder it. But where's the spiritual truth here? And it really gets kind of convicting. Let's read a few more convicting verses, boys and girls. Look at verse 10. He that is faithful, Jesus is still going to give us an application. He that is faithful in that which is least, is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. You say, what do you learn from that? Did you know God watches how you handle your money? And did you know you don't handle a dollar more faithfully? Look, I got one. So tickled. I got one. A real dollar. Yeah. Did you know if you waste your money, did you know that character trait travels over into you waste your time also? Diligence is something that permeates every area of your life. And to the degree you're careful with your money is the degree you're careful about other things. You say, no, that's not true. Jesus said, if you're faithful in that which is least, then you're faithful also in much. And if you're unjust in the least, you're unjust also in much. Watch this. That means God watches whether how much he can trust you by how you spend your money. If the Bible says a rich man retains riches. His character says, I don't have to spend it right now. A fool and his money are soon parted is not Bible. But there is some Bible principle there. A fool and his money soon parted. What we want to teach our kids? Oh, I got to buy that. No, you don't. Go home and think about it. Oh, I got to buy that. No, you don't. You don't got to do nothing. Oh, yes, I do. No, you don't. But the salesman said, if I do it today, the sale's off tomorrow. No, you don't. Sale will come again. Did you know God watches how you spend, and to the degree you spend or save or waste your money is the degree God says. Look at the next verse. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, in money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? What's true riches? A good marriage. That's something you can't buy. Your children turning out. You can't buy that. That's true riches. What's true riches? Peace. What's true riches? A good church. What's true riches? The power of God. What's true riches? True riches, things you can't buy, are dependent on how you spend your money. And if you waste this, God says, I can't trust you with spiritual things because of how you handle physical things. Didn't he just teach that in the parable? Man loses his job, does everything he can to get a resource. Christian, what are you doing with what God has given you for your everlasting habitation? Your place in heaven. He's already saved you. Now, what are you doing with it? It's really a neat story. I look at this as one of the more complex parables. This is not like the sower. You know, this is not like the wedding. This is something I think if you put a lot of thought in, honestly, it's very convicting to me. Because I have some things to learn. And I have some things to grow in. And God says, I look at how you spend your money. You're impulsive, you don't plan, then you probably don't plan for other things also. Don't waste what God gives you. God's watching how you spend the money. Every penny, every dime. And you're going to give an account of it. Here we go. Now I just want to show you something here, and we have just a couple of minutes left. Can you listen to me just real close? What would cause somebody, as a Christian, to not spend their money wisely or to not handle? Why would you live for the world when you could be living for God if you understand you're not going to live forever? You're going to go ahead and send it on ahead. What stops the Christian? Because the world gains their attention and the world says, do it this way, wear it this way, talk this way, go here, versus living your life according to Jesus Christ. Watch this. The world is opposite of Jesus Christ. John 16:20 says, Jesus said that ye shall weep and lament when I die. But the world shall rejoice. The world is totally opposite of Jesus Christ. If they could crucify him again, they would. it wasn't a phase the world was going through. That was just the Roman Empire, and that's how come they crucified him. If he came back today to do what he did 2,000 years ago, the world would hate him now like they hated him then, and if they could, they'd kill him publicly. The world is still opposite of Jesus Christ. Watch this. The devil is called the prince and god of this world. Jesus said in John 14:30, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Do you know who it is that keeps people from getting saved? The prince of this world. The prince of the system, the prince of the power of the air. The one that God has given dominion now until Jesus comes back again. Gee, God still rules the world. But the one that's keeping your loved ones from getting saved, that's Satan. He is the small g, god of this world. So let me get this straight. The world is opposite of Jesus Christ, totally opposite. The world, Jesus said, Satan is the god of this world, not of my world. The whole world, the Bible says, lieth in wickedness. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. 1 John 5:19. The whole world lies in wickedness. You know what the world is? It's the system. It's the people. Who is it that puts out the fashion? That ought to bug you, ladies. To let somebody else control your life and say, you have to do this and you have... I'm not for you looking like, you know, Muslim or something with veils and all that stuff. I'm not for you looking like that. But that ought to bug you when someone says, you shouldn't wear your hair that way because that's not in fashion. Who said? Do you know who designed that? Some queer over in France. You have to poof the hair. You have to get the, you know, oh, more light shine. More here, get the light direction right there. Kind of, yeah. It ought to bug you ladies when someone says you shouldn't be wearing that because that went out of fashion last year. Who said? The world said that. Not God. Nobody else. Well, I've got to go get a new wardrobe because... nothing is that I have is in this year. According to fill in the blank. That's worldly. When we say, when we tell the teenagers, we don't want you wearing your hair a certain way. That's because the world broadcasts it in their rock groups and all that. And if you wear your hair that way, you're modeling yourself after the world, not. I tell the guys, fellas, quit modeling your hair. Shaving your eyebrows and knocking them like gangs do. All the fads, the junk. Quit modeling yourself after that. Whatever happened to just, do you like your preacher's hair? You know? Poof. You know, I mean, he's got that, you know. I mean, I think it's cool. I can't get mine to do it. I can't. I go out and then in. Just, and go, poof. Okay, do it straight again. Out, in. Over back. Okay. You want to? Yeah, Brad. I use a comb. He uses a buff rag. But I don't want to use the world as my model for what's right. I want to use the world for my model for Jesus for my model for what's right, or godly Christians. Oh my goodness. We're out of time. I can't mess it up anymore. But would you please be careful, Christian, what you do and who you let control your life and who you tell what it is you must have. You don't have to do anything except what God says. Well, we've got to do... Did God tell you to do that? Then don't live for materialism. We've got to spend the money on this. We've got to do this. We've got to have this. We've got to go here. No, you don't. You need a relationship with Jesus Christ every day, and you need to read His Word, and you need to pray. And you need to reorganize your priorities to put Jesus first and quit listening to the world. Quit listening to the world.
To have a good time as a married couple, you got to go to parties.
I'm not against a party, but if they serve liquor there, you had no business there. None. Zero. I'm not against parties. Y'all want to get together and go over to each other's house? I think that's great. But the talk needs to be clean. No drinking. Shouldn't have been any there to tempt anybody to do any wrong. I'm for wholesome fellowship, smiles and handshakes, and I like that. I think that's good. I think Christians need that. But don't...
Got to do this.
The world's already failing. Their divorce rate is 64%. If you model yourself after the world and you do what they tell you, you will get their results. If you want a different cake, change the recipe. I hope this has been a help to you. I love you all very much. Let's pray. Please help us, Father, and thank you for your word. Please touch our hearts, and Lord, thank you so much. Lord, you didn't leave us to ourselves. You put it in your word, what we need. So I pray, please, Holy Spirit of God, Lord, as we could look this over this week and think about it, please make our homes better for you. And Lord, from how we spend our time to how we spend our money to how we organize our priorities, please let it not be in a worldly fashion, but let it be according to your word. Make us more like you. Bless our preacher now. Bless the service and touch our hearts again, please, in Jesus' name. Amen.